patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
It is the start of a new week here, Monday on the walk-off. Welcome, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. And we have special guest here, Craig Ballard, with some very big news that we'll get into in just a moment. Now, obviously, you can follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast and Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. You can join the Discord by shooting us a DM and asking for the link. And a big tip of the hat to everyone who is a Patreon member. We truly appreciate you. So let's get into it. Craig, welcome, brother. How was your weekend?
Busy. Business is picking up for me, gentlemen. So my time is busy right now, as you guys know. I know we're excitingly going to get into that, but as busy as it was, there was baseball on the TV screen. So wait a minute now. This is a good thing, right? Yeah, this is a good thing.
Yes, all weekend, and we will talk some WBC here. A tournament that I honestly wasn't excited about, but now that it's here, I'm really, really enjoying it. So we will touch on that, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. But first, buddy, let's get to some pretty big news. Listen, Adam and I have always been very appreciative of your baseball mind. You join us constantly. You have been a regular here on the walk-off. So we feel like we're getting the bump here with this news. But you are the new host of the Locked On Jays podcast. Brother, congratulations. Yes. This is so cool.
Thank you so much. Very much appreciated, gentlemen. It's funny you mentioned the kind words about the walk-off. The people at Locked On, so Ben Showman, who, of course, Dan Showman's son, we're all a fan of Ben Showman's, man, with the jobs he's done over the years, wow. He hosted the Locked On Blue Jays. Now he's off to bigger and better, so opportunity came knocking, and so they had a talent scout searching around, hey, who could we get involved here? And it was what brought them to Craig Ballard was Craig Ballard as a guest on the Walk-Off podcast.
Hey.
So real tie-ins here. So, and I always knew, I mean, regardless of whether this would happen or not, I always knew how much I appreciated my time and my relationship with the Walk-Off. But yeah, it's actually led to some incredible things for me. So if you're not familiar with the Locked On is a podcast network. They have a Locked On for any team you can think of. Locked On Twins, Locked On Reds, Locked On your football team, your hockey team, whatever it is. It's a fantastic network. I think over 68 million subscribers. I don't know, numbers that don't compute up here. I'll tell you that. Anyway, they do well for themselves. Let's put it that way. So it looks like starting next week, it'll be Monday to Friday, about 25 to 30 minutes a podcast each day, Locked On the Toronto Blue Jays. We will definitely have Scott Belford on at some point soon. We will definitely have Adam Mack on at some point soon. Some of the walk-off regulars as well, like, hey, Kami, I'll be reaching out. I will be reaching out, ladies and gentlemen. Let's put it that way. But really excited just to share what I would consider my passion and dare I say some knowledge along the way of Blue Jay baseball. Brand new. You gentlemen know I make content, but now doing something every day like this, this is a new animal. This is a new animal. So I'm really excited about that. What would mean so much to me, Scott and Adam, what would mean so much to me, and I'm not even kidding on this, this would mean so much to me is, because you know I'm going to go back and watch our episode right now. I always watch our episodes back. I always enjoy seeing the comments and interacting with the people. If I see a comment or two about this, somebody saying, hey, Craig, babe, you can count on me. I'll be following. I'll be watching. That would mean not that I want to poach from the walk-off, right? We can
all be
in this together. Right. We can all be in this together. We can all be in this together. Absolutely, yes. But that would mean a lot to me because not only Scott and Adam, Mark from back in the day on the walk-off as well. Hey, Joel, it's what I've always said impresses me the most about the walk-off podcast is this is a community that's been built here across Canada. It's actually very impressive. It's something that means a lot to me that I'm, 3% of it, 2%, whatever that is. But yeah, guys, gentlemen, I'm just so excited. It's even more opportunity to talk Blue Jay baseball. I mean, that's a yes. That's a yes, please, for me, gentlemen.
And that's the big benefit to everyone watching here is just more Jay's content, which is fantastic. Go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
Well, I was just saying we do get constantly every time you're on, our comment section is filled with love for Craig Ballard. So it'll be exciting to have a real place to send people who want to see more Craig Ballard. So
very excited. Yeah, I'm really excited. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Really excited.
That is one thing about content creation in the baseball world that when we first started doing it, we weren't really aware of. It is a tight-knit group, and you do meet these people that become a part of your community and a part of your world. And so anyways, we're going to move on here, but truly congratulations on the big move up here, Craig. It's very, very cool. That's Locked On Jays, everybody. Check Craig out every single day, Monday to Friday here, starting Monday, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Let's talk World Baseball Classic. I know Adam and I talked about this a little bit on Friday, about our excitement level. And both of us, tepid would be the right word, Adam, right?
Yeah, it's generous for how I felt.
But now that it's here and there's baseball on from noon until you go to bed, it's pretty awesome. And I know I watched Dominican Republic and Venezuela. It felt like watching October baseball. It felt like World Series, the chips were down. Nobody was taking it lightly. And then I also watched Canada win 18-8 against Great Britain, which felt a little bit sloppier, to say the least. Have you been paying attention to the tournament, Craig? And well, what are your thoughts?
Well, put it this way. I mean, my excitement level for the WBC brings the three of ours combined up into through the roof. Like, that's I'm bringing enough of the excitement for the three of us. I love the World Baseball Classic, man. It doesn't happen every year, but every time it rolls around, I'm always a little crestfallen, gentlemen, because there's always some. For Canada to really compete, because we could really compete, but we would need everybody there, right? We would need all hands on deck, and it's never all hands on deck. So I'm always left a little disappointed by that. But my spirits get buoyed. A guy like Freddie Freeman, like, are you kidding me? This guy's just representing Canada so he can represent his mother. Like, this is this is on a team. Canada. I remember last World Baseball Classic, nobody came for Canada, and there's Freddie Freeman sitting there saying, guys, you don't think I could play for you guys. Like, he's come and asked. He's just been incredible about it. Incredible. Love that. Very easy to cheer for our boy Otto Velez, right? How about some Blue Jay CanCon, or Otto Lopez, sorry. Very easy to cheer for some CanCon there. But I'm super excited about the World Baseball Classic. I love it. And I imagine neither one of you said this. You said you're a tepid, but you both said you're getting into it now. I imagine that all it took was one camera pan to the crowd, and then you said, okay, wait a minute now. Okay, let me sit up in my seat a little bit more here. Okay, let me pay a little bit more attention here, because the atmospheres that are going on here, I'm not surprised, Scott. So Scott's talking. We've only had game one, or in some instances, game two of these pools. It's just getting started. Scott's talking about, what is this October playoff field? That's because of the atmosphere of these fans, man. It is something else.
And I do wish that, what's the best way to put this? I wish that maybe the North American players were as passionate about playing for their countries, Canada and the US of A, as some of these players from the Caribbean countries and from Latin America. And you watch these Dominican Republic players and they'd miss parts of the season to be there, right? Like, this is representing their country. You can tell it's a real, it's something they truly care about. So watching Mexico USA yesterday, and don't get me wrong, I mean, America is stacked. Pitching wise, they're definitely going a little bit further down the depth chart than, let's say, Dominican Republic or Colombia, you know, like, who have their stud pitchers there. That said, when you watch a lineup that's turning out Mike Trout and, you know, some of the guys that are coming up to bat, you can't feel too bad for them. But it would be nice if, let's say, these top Canadian players and these top American players were all involved. Is there any way of fixing that, or is this just player to player and country to country?
Is it possible that it's still new enough that it has time to grow? I wonder if that's possible. Like, I wonder if it can still gain some steam and some momentum. One thing that must be tough for the steam and the momentum is it's every, 4 years? So that must be tough for the steam and the momentum of it. But really, I think just the idea of...
Every three years.
The only thing I can see is like similar to the slam dunk contest in basketball, where I think you need to get some shoe sponsors, like the people who are actually in the ear of the athletes, I wonder if some of the homegrown people, you know, the politicians, things like that, I wonder if they make it more of a big deal if players will be more incentivized for that. I think that the real truth about what they're up against here, Scott and Adam, is contracts are only going up. So the whole battle of what do I do for these 3 weeks? Jordan Romano, that travel for those 3 weeks, is that equal? Is that worth what I'll miss out on the team that's made my family rich for generations, right? With this generational wealth. Mm-hmm. And that's not going, not only is that not going anywhere, that's only going to ramp up. So the WBC might be up against some money issues here. And the only way to combat that fire with fire is for them to have money involved. This all seems like a tall task. So yes. Scott, to be a Debbie Downer here, I think we still may see going forward the separation of the passion and the business. The Latin Americans with that passion for baseball, that is their life, whereas the North Americans more of a living, more of a
risk mitigation, if you
Bingo.
Will. Yes.
Bingo. Bingo. Yes. Okay, there it is right there. Look at Slim Daddy Vladdy on the verge of getting that huge contract. If he had to play right now, I do believe he could play, but look at that risk reward. It's nowhere close to being worth it for him right now. So as much as I love the WBC, I absolutely think they've got problems with the growth going forward.
And this is one thing with the tournament that I've said right from the get-go here is that I love the WBC. I truly enjoy watching it. And there's something about watching high quality baseball that you're not too emotionally invested in, you know, where it does. I'm rooting on a team here and there. And as long as it's not Canada, and even if it is Canada, it's not going to ruin my day. Like, let's say a playoff loss by our beloved Toronto Blue Jays. Right. So I've always said if when it comes to the WBC, I would prefer all of the Blue Jays opt out. Now I want everyone else involved, right? But Jose Berríos was the exception to that rule this year. I was actually really excited about him getting some playing time with Puerto Rico and being such a important cog to their goals of moving on. Last night he started against Venezuela and he didn't look bad, but he got blown up. He allowed 4 runs, didn't get out of the second inning. It's March 12th, Craig, but this does kind of line up with some of his starts from last year, which is Toronto Blue Jays fans' biggest concern. What's your concern level with Jose Berríos? Is this too early to carry over concern from last year? What do you want to see from him moving forward? Where are you at on Jose?
I was at a solid zero with my concern level for Jose Berríos. I am all about Adam Mack and I, when Scott was on his 6.5 month honeymoon, Adam Mack and I had a show where we talked about this. Sorry, no kidding. Oh my God, I've totally lost what we were even talking about.
Jose Berríos, Scott, concern.
Thank you. Thanks. Scott, you know what I'm playing. But with Jose Berríos, whereas last year, would we have wanted his individual performance to be better? There's absolutely no doubt about it. I believe he literally had the highest ERA in the league. Like, what's there to be excited about there? But aren't we? I know that I'm all about the wins and the losses. And when Jose Berríos pitched last season, the Blue Jays were 23-9. That is an eye pop, just an eye pop emoji right there. They were 14-2 at Rogers Center when Jose Berríos pitched. And the two losses, one they scored 2 runs, one they scored 0 runs. For whatever reason, when he pitched, they won. Look at, and Adam was saying, oh, I'd love to have you say that around Jewel sometime, what I'm about to say now. With look at Robbie Ray's Cy Young season. Blue Jays were 17-17 when Ray was on the mound. Remember, they missed the play-in game by 1 game that season. Wouldn't we as Blue Jay fans do anything to give, to have 1 game better for Robbie Ray? One more. I'd give that the Cy Young back if the Jays could have gone 19-16 instead and made the playoffs, right? So I'm all about the wins and the losses. So I was not concerned about Jose Berríos because for whatever reason, they won when he was on the mound. The concern that's starting to grow is that we're seeing the exact same thing from last season as this season. That fastball, I don't really understand why, because it's up there in the mid-90s, but it's not
guys
missing
are seeing
any
it,
bats.
Eh? Like, guys
it's
are
not missing
dialed
any
in
bats.
On it. Yeah.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. He has made his living, has become such a solid pitcher, earned that extension from the Blue Jays because of how good his and nasty his off-speed stuff is, but it's always been set up by the fastball. If that cupboard is bare on the setup pitch of the fastball, then what are we looking at this year? Gentlemen, I already thought that the Blue Jays were on the verge of making a trade. The depth that they've built here is just sensational. Now I really, really, really wonder if there's a move coming. What sort of bizarre world are we in right now? Where is Yusei Kikuchi the four and Jose Barrios at the five right now? Like what is even happening before our eyes right now? But yeah, I am skyrocketing with my concern on Jose Barrios, and it started at zero, gentlemen.
Hmm.
I kind of am in the same boat here. Listen, it is early. It is March 13th. This was really his first start of, for lack of, live hitters. But to see it line up with the same struggles from last year is disconcerting. Again, it is one start. I'm not going to panic, but my concern is above zero now, which is where it was to start the season. Okay.
Now, one good thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Just before we move on to Barrios, one glass half full that I do think could play well for us here is I didn't hear this anything officially in passing last season. I did hear that he went through a divorce with his wife, and now I'm hearing just in passing, nothing official, they're actually back together. They got back together this offseason. So remember, that was such a big deal for Barrios when he signed that extension with the Blue Jays. He was there with his family saying point blank, this is clear to us that this was the city for us to raise this family. So if all of a sudden some real life stuff happened and that rug got pulled out from under him on something like that between the ears, maybe we can see why things went a little south in 2022. So let's give him a little, as Scott says, it is early, but I think Scott and I are both on the same page. Like you said, it is above zero right now. The concern is above zero, right? That's being fair.
Yes.
This,
but it's a very good point news. About the personal
I didn't hear
stuff.
This divorce news.
Yeah, in passing last year, I even confirmed with a few buddies of mine. Again, nothing official, but who would have heard that in passing as well? I said absolutely, something did take place last season, but now this off season, she's been there at the spring. Like they apparently are back together. So things like that. I mean, Scott and Adam, how many times do things like that go not undiscovered, but even under the how many times do we really sit and realize that these athletes are human beings? Is my point on that right? And these sort of things come into play.
I hate being reminded of that.
sorry, a good point. Yeah, true.
I don't know if there's any truth to that, so I'll talk in vague generalities here. But generally speaking, once it's to the point of a divorce, I mean, 1% of the time you can work it out and it's a happy marriage and like do what you got to do for the kids. I held on to a bad arrangement for several years longer than I should have for my daughter's sake. Kudos to Jose for trying, but that is, if that's the case, a way bigger concern for me than anything else I've heard so far.
Wow.
If he was going through a divorce last year and now that's going to be such a distraction. The trying to fix a broken marriage, that is very difficult to do. And I wasn't even trying to pitch while I did it. So
I was going to say, and Adam Mack, you weren't away from home for half of that year, by the way.
I mean, look, again, look what we just watched Tom Brady go through last year as his marriage fell apart and he continued to pursue his. I'm not saying Jose Barrios is Tom Brady, but like realistically speaking, personal life has a major impact and it's naive to pretend that there won't be an impact. So if that is a factor in his struggles last year, I think we're kidding ourselves to think that, well, they're back together and things are merry and we'll be on our way. I don't even want to say it because I hope him and his family all the best and I'll just leave it at that. But that is a concern.
Okay. Let's move on to Kevin Gausman. And one of the reasons I want to talk Kevin Gausman is that he has been dominant and he's expected to be one of the studs at the top of this rotation along with Alek Manoah since 2018, since he was traded from the Orioles to the Braves. The Braves had a bunch of data on Kevin Gausman. And basically what this data showed is that he was literally double as effective, twice as effective when he was pitching out of the stretch as to when he was doing his windup. So he literally eliminated his windup. And this is where that rocking toe tap that he was doing the last 3 years came from, right? Was it's an elimination of the windup, and he used it as like a timing mechanism to pitch. This year with the new rule changes, you can no longer disengage from the rubber once you touch it and get into getting ready to pitch, right? Luis Garcia of the Houston Astros and Kevin Gausman are basically the only pitchers that this affected in all of baseball. They were kind of the poster children. they were taken as examples and were like, hey, this is what they're like them pitching were the videos sent out to teams being like, you're not allowed to do this. So Kevin Gausman, after literally, now this is another thing about Gausman, since that change in late 2018 at the trade deadline when he moved to Atlanta, he is the second best pitcher in baseball numbers-wise and has the second best FIP in MLB. Listen, I'm not concerned about Kevin Gausman. That said, he did come out just recently and talk about that making this change to his delivery has been a little bit more difficult than he expected and has definitely messed with his timing, and he feels rushed on the mound. Is being a little concerned? Like, I'm a little concerned? Calm me down, Craig. Tell me that everything's going to be okay.
Well, I do understand why you would be a little concerned. You know, that's another thing that Adam and I had talked about previously is what could happen to derail. There's so much depth. There's so much talent on this team this season. What could happen to derail the Blue Jays from making the playoffs in 2023? Well, Kevin Gausman falling flat on his face is on that list, right? So to just completely dismiss this, Scott, I don't think you should. I think you're right to at least have a little bit of concern. For me, it's more of a let's have it play out. What I really hope is going to happen, and what I actually predict, what I think is going to happen, is that he's just going to see that he can find enough timing, balance, rhythm, all of that in the new way to do it, and still have that splitter be as good a pitch as there is in all of flipping baseball. Mm-hmm. Now, between the ears, starting pitchers, right? Gentlemen, we know our friend Lewis, like we know the Jays kid, we know these guys are different between the ears, right? Like starting pitchers are different between the ears. They're creatures of habit, all that stuff. So once he sees that his new routine can be effective for him, I think he's going to be totally fine. Remember, we were on the verge of this last year of him needing to make changes. Remember that balk he got called for, and he went charging at the ump. We couldn't believe he didn't get ejected. I think Bo stepped right in front of the second base ump. Remember last year? So we were on the verge of some of these issues already taking place. And like Scott said, every major league team said, well, what's the new rule? And Major League Baseball said, just see any pitch that Kevin Gausman threw. Just see any pitch that Kevin Gausman threw. That's
a no-go.
Right? Yeah, I can't do that anymore. Exactly. Can't do that anymore. So there is going to have to be an adjustment period. There's no doubt about it. What I also think is really going to help with Gausman's between the ears and his confidence to just get through this is, man, you talk about that fifth of the fielding independent. I mean, my God, the defensive improvements that this team has just walked in the door right now. My God, I think Gausman is going to be any of the negatives that come from this whole change that he has. And it's not really a change, but more of a tweak, I guess is the way to put it. Of this tweak, I think there's just so much goodness that is coming in for Kevin Gausman. I was so excited when the Jays landed Kevin Gausman. Right now, I'm on cloud nine that he's a Blue Jay. And if you take a look back at the free agent pitchers that were signed this offseason, holy cow, did we ever get lucky at the timing of signing Kevin Gausman as well. So, do you believe it? Do you believe it? So,
truly,
Scott,
if he signed this year, like if he signed in this offseason, he would have gotten the Carlos Rodon for sure, like without a doubt.
Might have been out of the Blue Jays price range for crying out loud. And instead, he's here at the top of our rotation for years to come. So Scott says, you know, am I crazy to be a little, how could you not be a little trepidatious? Mm-hmm. How could you not be a little concerned? If Alek Manoah had to make a change like that, like these are guys we are counting on for 35 really good starts this season. So absolutely, how could you not pay attention to it? I just don't think it's going to, my point here, Scott, the way it's going to play out, I don't think it's going to be a huge negative here.
Let's talk Chris Bassitt, who was the first, or I should say the big pitching free agent that the Jays went out and got this offseason. And honestly, it's not that I was down on Chris Bassitt. I wasn't super excited when they signed him. I definitely wasn't disappointed. I think that he filled a need that needed to be filled. And I think that just looking at the back of that baseball card, right, his past performances, you got a pretty good idea of what you're getting out of 34-year-old Chris Bassitt. But since joining this team, honestly, Craig, I have been so impressed with what's between the ears of this guy. Right. He is a cerebral dude out there on the mound. The gamesmanship with the pitch clock has been fun to watch with him. The fact that he enjoys the math of pitching so much is kind of an exciting thing to see, especially with a team that's got some young and up and coming starters in that system. Guys like Ricky Tiedemann, guys like Sam Roberts, guys like Brandon Barriera, and to see this Chris Bassitt, this intellectual pitcher, be a member of this organization and not just for this year, right? For the next 3 years, It could bode very well. What are your thoughts on Chris Bassitt? And when it comes to cerebral pitchers, what do you like from that side of the game?
Well, you're hitting nails on the head. That is the reason I was excited about Chris Bassitt. One thing that's going to rub off on this young up-and-coming pitching staff, not a veteran like Gausman, but all the other young guys you've mentioned, is they're going to see the why. So not only are they going to see what we all see every fifth day, Chris Bassitt take that ball and be prepared to give you at least 6 or 7 innings that day. Like you said, he's prepared up here for it. Whatever pitch ails you as a hitter, he brings it to the table. Chris Bassitt throws like 15, 20 different, like he's for whatever pitch you struggle with, he brings it to the table. And what I love so much, the gift that keeps on giving, the things that aren't on the stat sheet, I talk about how the pitchers are going to see him perform every fifth day. But here's the thing. They're going to see his preparation on that next off day. The 4 days between, they're going to see the work that he puts in. And it can't help but inspire them. And it's going to be so helpful for these guys. Alek Manoah is wise beyond his years already. But you start adding in some Chris Bassitt veteran goodness. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely love it. Even a Barrios, if things are going on between his ears right now, I think Bassitt can be a real calming influence on this. Mm-hmm. Chris Bassitt could go out there, give you 7 innings, a shutout ball, 2 hits, 7 strikeouts. The very next game, it's more like 5 innings, 8 hits. It's a bit more of a struggle. But Chris Bassitt, him himself, is the exact same person. That even keel on a young team like this, very important. I love you gentlemen on the walk-off. You guys are the first ones I ever heard talking about, hey, do we need to extend Matt Chapman? Well, if you're in the extend Matt Chapman camp, that's his best friend. That's his best friend. Yeah. Like that's another plus. That's another bonus that Chris Bassitt just brought walking in the door. But I liken it to who was the why am I thinking Adam Wainwright? Oh my God, why am I having a brain cramp here? The veteran we had a couple of years ago who started the trend of all the pitchers walking in together. Why am I having such a brain cramp on this?
Who was that now?
Why do I keep saying Wainwright?
Richards.
Oh.
Richards?
No, not Richards. Oh my God.
Buckles.
No. With the huge beard.
This is just good listening.
With the awesome beard. Why am I blanking on this right now?
Well,
Shoemaker. Oh my God. So sorry, guys. Matt Shoemaker. So sorry, guys. So sorry. Oh my God. Why was I blanking on that? Oh my good Lord. Sorry, guys. Matt Shoemaker didn't even put up a wins, like didn't even put up production for the
game
Blue Jays,
one of the playoffs 2020 pitcher.
there you go. Yeah. But what he did for that team, just between the ears and the camaraderie, things like that, his influence off of the field, it was palpable. It's, you can still see it to this day. Some of the things he implemented, the team still does to this day. That is what I think Chris Bassitt brings to the table. Plus a whole lot of wins. I mean, all due respect to Shoemaker, he was at the end of that career. Chris Bassitt still got some bullets left in that gun. I'm really excited about what he brings. As I say, not just every fifth day, gentlemen, but those 4 days of prep, he's going to be an example for this team.
Man, I love what you said about the why, because that really is what, as a fan watching, stood out to me. Like when he first did the hesitation with the pitch clock, right? And he was trying to force that timeout out of the batter. I didn't know what was going on. That was the first thing I did. I'm like, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? And then once you start to see the mechanisms behind it, right? Like the curtain comes up and you see the puppet master doing his thing and you're like, oh, that's what's going on. Another thing about Chris Bassitt that maybe isn't there's not enough talked about when it comes to Chris Bassitt and how many innings he logs, right? Like, this is one thing that maybe isn't getting enough attention, is that this dude is an inning eater. And yeah, we may watch him finish the year with a 4 ERA, which is fine if he's going to give us 185 innings, which is exactly what he's going to do.
Such a great point. And that 4 ERA, I might sign up for that right now. That is one thing. That is one interesting thing about Bassitt, is he is a fly ball pitcher. And I wonder, I don't know this at all, but I wonder if he was aware of those dimensions when, you know, those fences being moved in when he signed with the Blue Jays. I don't know that it would have been a big deal one way or the other, but it is at the very least something to keep an eye on. But yes, absolutely. I'm such a fan of Chris Bassitt. This guy is a pro's pro.
With an outfield defense of Springer, yeah, Kiermaier, and Varshow, I think that the walls being moved in, it's all going to work out in the wash on this.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
So Alejandro Kirk, new father, by the way. Big congrats to Alejandro Daddy Kirk at this point. He did make his appearance in spring about 2 weeks after everybody else. I know that there is a little bit of concern amongst the fan base that maybe this will result in a slow start. Personally, I'm actually fine with Danny Jansen taking more than his fair share of the workload in the first half of April here. I have no problem with it. And I think that down the road, it could wind up working out that Kirk gets more of the workload down. That, you know, it's going to be, I'm really flubbing this, but what I'm saying is it's going to benefit this team later in the season if Kirk is a little bit more refreshed at that point. Are you concerned at all about the late arrival of Alejandro Kirk to spring training?
No, let's look at this as something that could turn into a real positive. As you just said, that's something that I don't think Blue Jay fans really want to admit or have the conversation. But Scott, if we're having an open, honest conversation, Alejandro Kirk deteriorated right before our very eyes in that second half last season. He deteriorated right before our very eyes. And the problem is the Blue Jays hit him in the cleanup spot. So that's not a spot where you can see deterioration, right? So the whole idea of him ramping into shape, and why did he need to ramp in shape, wasn't because we're concerned about some injury. It was because he celebrated a real life great thing, right? So I think his spirits are buoyed. Boom. I think his spirits are buoyed. He saw that it's really go time, because, you know, all last season he would have had to be looking over his shoulder. Remember, he was this close to being a Cleveland Guardian in the offseason last year if Cleveland was willing to pull the trigger on that Jose Ramirez trade. So Kirk is a guy who was constantly looking over his shoulder. How long will I be a Blue Jay? Now the writing is on the wall. You are a Toronto Blue Jay. Doesn't have to feel any need to rush back. I mean, what am I supposed to be disappointed with? That Danny Jansen's getting more time at catcher? Like, oh my God, that sounds like a yes, please scenario anyway to me. And by the way, Bassitt, would just one more thing with Jansen and Bassitt. Bassitt calling the game to Jansen now, could that even improve Jansen between the ears as well, between innings? Man, in that 3-2 spot, I might have gone this, you went this, and having that conversation, by the way, as another thing that Bassitt brings to the table. But no, I'm so excited about the catching scenario for the Toronto Blue Jays, even with the Moreno trade. Absolutely expecting big things from Alejandro Kirk. I love the idea that he can ramp up and hopefully save some in the tank for that second half. I mean, Espinal and Kirk both just deteriorated between right before our eyes in that second half last season. And it's as much depth as there is on this Blue Jay team, Kirk in particular can't, we just can't have, well, like I said, gentlemen, the Blue Jays hit him fourth for crying out loud. You're going to need a full season. You're going to need a good season from Alejandro Kirk. So no, I'm not worried about any sort of slow start or late start, anything along these lines. Let's also remember, gentlemen, what if something does happen and it is more of a ramp up for Kirk than we're even anticipating? Dalton Varshow can catch a game or two each week for you with Jansen taking the rest of that. I mean, that cupboard is not bare for the Blue Jays right now.
Yeah, catching is still a real strength of this organization. Yeah. I know that there is a little bit of concern more amongst the fan base than the coaching staff and the organization, obviously, about how do you split up this workload? How do you go about getting all of these guys at bats? Are you fine? Like, do you think it'll be a 50-50 split behind the plate between Kirk and Jansen? Or do you think we could wind up seeing Jansen take more of the load behind the plate? How do you see this all playing out?
Boy, I'm so fascinated by how it'll play out, because I've never seen depth on a Toronto Blue Jay team like this before. Right now, the Blue Jays don't even have a first baseman, but at some point soon, Vlad and Belt will be healthy. Like, just the options that that gives the lineup alone just from that position. Now look at the options you have at second base, because Santiago Espinal is showing, hey, never mind that second half last season. You see the shape I've come into? I won't break down. Like, you see the spring Espinal's having. Wow, the spring Biggio's having.
Yeah.
There's so much depth around this team right now that I don't think anything is in stone right now. I don't think they have any plans for it'll be Jansen 60%, Kirk 40%. I think they will take it on a game-by-game basis. This is where Don Mattingly is going to come into play, because Mattingly will be able to help Schneider with the lineup. So, you know what I got a feeling today? Actually, Jansen needs to be in. This pitcher throws this, this, and this. We need to have Jansen in. I don't know if we want Kirk in today because of what he throws. Let's get Belt in the DH spot. There's just going to be so much mixing and matching opportunities for Schneider, and I think Don Mattingly is going to be very, very key on that as well. So I actually don't think there's anything sort of set in place. So Scott, to answer the question, I won't be surprised one way or the other. It ends up being Kirk catching a little more. It ends up being Jansen catching a little more. I won't be surprised one way or the other, because the Blue Jays with this depth are in a position where they can ride the hot hand. That is very exciting.
It's been kind of cool to watch. You look around the diamond, right? And sure, it was easy to look at second base and be like, probably offensively the biggest hole on this team. But man, the competition that it has created between Espinal, Biggio, and Merrifield, this may not be the black hole of offense that, you know, it looked like at the beginning of the season. I'm not saying that Espinal and Biggio are going to continue to hit 400 throughout the season, but I think a little bit of competition and a little bit of fear of losing some ABs is not a bad thing to have.
Well, and it's why I think a trade is coming. The depth that's been shown at second base has really pleasantly surprised me. The bullpen in AAA this season is going to be a major league bullpen on some of these lower tiered major league teams, like the depth. So that's another reason maybe why we shouldn't be as concerned about Barrios right now, because they could trade to replace him. But I've just been blown away. I thought Scott called it at the beginning of last season. He said, look, I love Santiago Espinal as well, but my concern is if you play him every day, at some point, that's going to get exposed. That's exactly what we saw happen. So I love that he's come into camp this season in a completely different shape. I don't know if you've seen interviews with him. He's talked about a few times. There was a few times where they showed him in batting practice, and he was hitting balls opposite field with power, and he was literally in Spanish turning to his buddies and literally saying, you know, I wasn't even able to do that last year. Like, he is noticing there's a difference to his body shape and his approach. He's noticing he's a much better player. His confidence level seems to be through the roof. And Kevin Biggio, I know it's not for the faint of heart. The Kevin Biggio is the position player version of Nate Pearson. I know this is the fourth year in a row that we're saying, or who knows how long we've been saying, hey, I wonder if Biggio can do it. But gentlemen, I'm going to say what I always say. It is possible that for the last couple seasons, we have not at all seen a healthy Kevin Biggio.
Yeah.
It's possible we've not seen him healthy at all. What if he is healthy this season? And what if he actually does have the tools that we were so excited? Remember, it's now a Bichette and Vlad convo. For the longest time, it was Biggio, Bichette, and Vlad combo, right? As the three son of the major leaguers. What if that's still possible? What if that's still true and could still play itself out? I'll tell you, the depth on this team, I can't tell you how many times I just daydream if I'm John Schneider. I mean, my God, at second base, that depth. We talk about the depth at first base, the depth going on behind the plate. It is just so exciting. And I wonder if the Blue Jays saw this coming. I'm sure they did. I didn't see this coming. I'll tell you that. I didn't see the video game numbers from Biggio this spring. I didn't see the video game numbers from Espinal this spring. They are both making it very clear that, hey, just so you guys know, I require every day at bats on the major league level. Just so you guys know, I'm absolutely ready for this. This whole time, I fully wanted Whit Merrifield as the second baseman. Now it's such a debate, and somehow it's a debate over three guys. Like, wow, the depth, gentlemen. Wow.
One thing about Biggio that has impressed me this spring, outside of his bat, is he's looked really good in the outfield.
Absolutely,
like, he has looked the best in the outfield that I've seen his entire career. He never looked like he was overly comfortable. He always was proficient out in the outfield. He was never, you know, when Biggio was put out into the outfield, it's not like everyone was like, oh, dear God, this is going to be an adventure. But he has made some really good routes to the ball in right. He has made some really good throws from the outfield. And I think him as that utility guy, that fourth outfield spot, I think with this spring, he's kind of securing himself a spot in this lineup. Awesome. Unless, like you say, there's a trade.
Well, in all due respect to last year, but if Biggio wanted to work on something last year, there was no Don Mattingly to work on it with, and you weren't going to go to Tao, all due respect to Tao or Lourdes, you weren't going for them for defensive advice. Now Barchaud walks in the door. Now Kevin Kiermaier walks in the door. Way different story, way different scenario. You can already see the influence these guys are having. The routes that Barchaud and Kiermaier take the balls are as good as there is in all of baseball. So I would bet you cash money they've had conversations with Biggio, because you're exactly right, Scott. It's palpable, like even body language-wise, how much more comfortable he looks out there right now.
Adam loves talking Biggio. We just we make a point of doing it every single time we turn the mic on.
standard behavior.
Yeah.
His dad has a great first name.
Yes, he does. Slim Daddy Craigie. Yeah. Gavin Biggio, yes. If this is it, if he's healthy for the first time in 5 years, he would just be a game changer for this team. Like, the ceiling on him to contribute to this team would be off the charts.
Well, and that's the thing, Adam. Couldn't another team see that ceiling as well? And here comes that starting pitcher back to replace the Barrios or to replace Kikuchi when those wheels inevitably fall off. I won't be the Debbie Downer now. Everyone's high on Kikuchi. Fine, I won't be the Debbie Downer now. But when that inevitably happens, we'll revisit this conversation. But Adam, you're seeing exactly what I'm talking about, man. What if there's another team out there that covets Biggio as a second baseman or Espinal as a second baseman or any of these AAA bullpen arms that we're going to have here? I mean, I think the Jays are really well poised to make a trade.
Yeah, I don't want to see them rush into a trade, but I mean, by mid-August, right, anything can happen. But yeah, as of right now, I don't know. I kind of spent the offseason thinking Espinal would be the odd man out, but the more I think about it, he's the only one of those three who I feel comfortable replacing at shortstop or third base if there is a
great point
a bad taco situation. So I don't think we can afford to lose Espinal just from a defensive second guy up,
unless you're really high on Barger, who does play a good shortstop and second base, but yeah, 23 and no major league experience,
blowing it up in Triple A and he's hitting 350 down there, then maybe. But again, that's a conversation for August, right? When we've seen 4 months of Barger just lighting AAA on fire, then we can have that talk. But for now,
it's funny, Craig, you bringing up the bearded dragon's wheels eventually falling off, because I do kind of feel the same way. And Adam, I don't know where you are at on Kikuchi and how much confidence you have in him being consistent for the full season. But what I would give for him to not have his wheels fall off until June. Can he be Yusei Kikuchi of the Seattle Mariners from middle of April till the end of May 2021? Can we get those 6 weeks out of him just for the year? What, give me 6 weeks and let it be a disaster the rest of the time, and then you can work around it. It gives you time to get to that trade deadline. It gives you a little bit of time to see where some of these starting pitchers in AAA are at. I don't want to see them rush Ricky Tiedemann, but you know what? If the timing lines up where Kikuchi can be decent for the first half of the season, and then maybe he's struggling after the All-Star break and Tiedemann is completely mowing down guys in AAA, that's a perfect scenario. I just want to see Kikuchi give this team some time. And I don't know if he will, but so far, so good. Like, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer either, because, yeah. I mean, he looks good.
Well, you blew my mind on that one, because I'll tell you, I'm going to say, Scott had the definitive word about Espinal. For me, Scott had the definitive word last year about Kikuchi as well. I said, look, if we're just being open and honest, we shouldn't be excited. We shouldn't expect it. He's not that good. But what a world we would live in if he was. Like, what a world we would live in if we're wrong about that, right? Which is exactly what you're describing. And the reason I say you just blew my mind, Scott, is because when I'm talking about Kikuchi with my friends right now, I'm telling them, listen, I need to see the full season. And the reason I need to see the full season, because I've already seen the first month and a half, 2 months be good. And then the second half of that season, he was the second worst pitcher in all of baseball. So I've already seen that play out. But you just blew my mind on that one, Scott, because you're saying, well, now, wait a minute, Craig. Let's take those first 1-2 months. Sure, he's going to blow up. Fine. But those 1-2 months buys time for Ricky Tiedemann, buys time for Zulueta or somebody down on AAA, buys time for that, opens up that trade market. The Jays can't get enough at-bats for Espinal and Biggio and Merrifield and Varsho and everybody like that. So they're dealing from a position of strength. We can make a trade. You just blew my mind on that. That sounds fantastic. That I can get down with, because that's the get out of jail free card, because I am concerned that we're going to see the first month and a half, 2 months be good. And everybody say, ha, Craig, told you so. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there saying, but wait a minute, what about 2021? I've seen this movie before and it was really, really, really ugly. Well, to your point, Scott, what if a move is coming? That was a very interesting point there. I like that a lot.
Here's where I am at on Yusei Kikuchi. I think we look back at the 2023 season and we say, wow, Yusei Kikuchi was the best left-handed pitcher we had out of the bullpen.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I think but he buys us time through April, May, June, and then I think it is a move to the bullpen. He looked great. I know, small sample size, and he's playing in kind of meaningless games. Pitched well in AAA at the bullpen at the end of last season when he did pitch out of the bullpen. The number, like, you can't argue the numbers.
A lot of lefties.
Small sample size. We don't have a lot of lefties.
No, that is true. That's so, Adam, he doesn't throw strikes, though. How can we have him coming out of the bullpen? I just can't do it, man. I just can't do it.
Well, we're paying him, so we're going to play him.
Yeah.
Now, that's $10 million.
They're going to put to work.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Now, his contract is a lot more palatable this year, next year, because it was front loaded, but still, you do make a valid point there. My thing with Kikuchi, again, we won't be Debbie Downer here, but you've seen him pitch in spring. Now, the stat line is, I mean, what more could I literally, what more could I possibly want?
Here's the stat line just for anybody. Yeah. 9 2/3 innings pitched, a whip of 1.14, and 13 strikeouts.
And how many runs, Adam?
10 innings. Well, of course, zero. Big goose egg there.
Not a damn one. Not a damn run. So what's your problem, Craig?
So, Craig, you'll take 13 Ks over 9 and zero runs?
That works out of the bullpen. That plays.
But if his fastball has still been such a problem, gentlemen. I don't know. I'm not bought into the Yusei Kikuchi just right now, gentlemen. I keep saying I won't be a Debbie Downer. I'll just shut up. I really won't be a Debbie Downer, but I'm not on the Yusei Kikuchi train just yet.
I'm saying this, ERA under 4, Yusei Kikuchi this year.
Which I think we would all take every single day.
I mean, 3.9. Oh,
Craig's shocking face here. Like, yeah.
I would, oh my God.
He's never done it before.
Congratulations on your World Series. Congratulations on the World Series, if that's the case. Like, congratulations on the 2023 World Series Toronto Blue Jays, if that's the case.
Okay, so there was some news. We did bring up just the fact that I would love to see Kikuchi do well enough for long enough to give this team some time. Ricky Tiedemann being the big reason for that. And it was just announced today. Keegan Matheson tweeted out, of course, friend of the show and Jays reporter for MLB.com. He tweeted out, Blue Jays number one prospect Ricky Tiedemann was dealing with left shoulder soreness and was shut down for a few days recently. He's been throwing long toss and should throw a side session Wednesday. So obviously bad news, but let's not freak out. I do wish to remind everybody the amount of pitchers who have sore
down by the seashore.
Sore shoulders down by the seashore. Yeah, the amount of pitchers in spring training dealing with some shoulder soreness is pretty much all of them. I think that this is very much a precautionary move, and there's no reason to rush their number one prospect in spring training. So I don't think we should be reading too much into this. When you're trying to get through a spring, Craig, and you look at an organization, health is number one, right?
Look, as we said earlier, like literally, if something was on the line right now, I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. would be in a lineup somewhere, WBC or Blue Jays, if he absolutely had to. We're not at the time of the year where you do absolutely have to.
Speaking of Vladdy, we'll put some positivity out there because he ran the bases this weekend. He's feeling a lot better. The inflammation in his knee has subsided, and it looks like he is going to be good and ready to go. Keegan Matheson says in the next few days. So good news for the Blue Jays. Okay, Craig, that is everything that I had written down to talk with you, but I'm going to give you an opportunity here if there is any baseball related topics that you want to touch on before we call this thing a show.
Boy, none. We talked on the World Baseball Classic, and we talked some Toronto Blue Jay baseball. I'm feeling like $1 million over here myself. The Adam tried in vain to get me on the Yusei Kikuchi train, and I denied it. So I think I've checked off everything I wanted to check off.
Everything you had to get to. Well, yeah. Thank you so much, my friend, for joining us. You know darn well we love it when you have the time, and you're welcome anytime. A big congratulations. And everyone listening right now, Locked On Jays podcast, new host Craig Ballard. That starts Monday, correct?
That is the goal. Yeah, there's some technical things to iron out and things like that, but I've got some meetings going on. It'll start at some point next week for sure. So on Twitter, I'm at Craig Ballard 77. I'll have all the announcements there. On TikTok, I believe it's Craig. Actually, why do I never know my TikTok? I think it's Craig _Ballard_ Jays Talk. JAYSTOK, like TikTok, Jays Talk. But oh yeah, I'll have all the announcements there. As we talked about earlier, just appreciate the two of you and your influence on me for all of this and your help with all of this. And that is the potential bad news for the walk-off fans that don't like me. Is this does not mean this is the end of Craig Ballard on the walk-off podcast. No, that is
you
not
can't get rid of him that easily.
No, this bald head will be back on. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah.
Well, we look forward to it. Thanks to everyone in the community who has spent the time to watch the episode. Hit that like button. If you are not subscribed, subscribe. Thank you very much. And we'll see everyone for Mailbag tomorrow. Cheers.
Bye, Dad.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.